Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon University Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center headquartered at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Suzanne Miller, and today I am pleased to introduce you to myself and Marianne Lapham. Welcome to our ongoing series exploring Agile principles and their application across the Department of Defense. In today's installment, we explore the 12th and final Agile principle. At regular intervals, the team reflects on how to become more effective, then tunes and adjusts its behavior accordingly. But first, a little bit about myself and Marianne. Marianne's work focuses on supporting and improving the acquisition of software-intensive systems. For Department of Defense programs, this means assisting and advising on software issues at the system or segment level. In addition, she leads research into software topics that are germane to acquisition of software-intensive systems, including the SEI's research in adoption of Agile and Lean methods in regulated settings like the DoD. My research focuses on synthesizing effective technology transition and management practices from research and industry into effective techniques for use of Agile and Lean methods in regulated settings. This is our 12th podcast exploring the real-world application of Agile principles in Department of Defense settings. If you like what you hear today, there are already 11 podcasts in this series, one for each Agile principle behind the Agile Manifesto. As a reminder, the four values and 12 principles of the Agile Manifesto can be found at www.agilemanifesto.org. Today, Marianne, let's talk about reflection and becoming more effective. How is this accomplished in a DoD setting, and how is this different from the kinds of process improvement, continuous improvement kinds of activities that many DoD settings are already accustomed to performing?
Well, first off, for those who are going, what do you mean reflect? And it's commonly called inspect and adapt or retrospectives. Think lessons learned. Now, most DoD organizations are attuned to doing lessons learned at the very end of a project. What did we learn? What worked? What didn't? What are we going to do different on the next one we're working on? But we don't wait in Agile to the very end. We do it at the end of each sprint, each release, each stopping point, if you will. And so the team actually gets involved in this, and they sit down and they say, okay, we just finished 2-3 weeks of work. What went really well? What didn't go so well? What should we change? What should we not do again?
And what should we keep?
And what should we keep? And then how much change do we want to try for the next iteration? You don't necessarily want to change everything all at once.
Right. Because incremental change is like incremental release.
Right. So if you think lessons learned, you have a context for this. And then you think, how much can I improve each time? And if you let the team will know what worked and what didn't. And they'll be able to give suggestions on, you know, if we did this thing over here slightly differently, we'd save all this time, we wouldn't be redundant, or, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's how they do their testing. Maybe it's how they do their test criteria up front, and it didn't come out quite the way they wanted.
It may have to do with how they deal with their tools.
Yeah, or we need a tool that does
XYZ.
XYZ.
Yep.
So the team is a good source. And then you want to ask the other stakeholders, because, you know.
They're interacting with other stakeholders, and there could be improvements there, too.
There could be improvements there, too, and everybody has a different view of the thing, and so you want to get everybody's opinions and views and then decide what really needs to change and change a little bit to improve each time.
So if you, some of you listening may be as old as I am and remember things like the plan, do, check, act cycle, the Schuhart cycle. I mean, there is a long history in the quality assurance and the quality management movement of these kinds of incremental lessons learned, incremental retrospectives. And so this is a case where I see this principle as being something that takes a common best practice that is actually common in a lot of the rest of the development context and making it explicit for Agile as well, making sure we don't forget about it. Because that's what I see mm-hmm. in the more traditional settings, is putting off the retrospectives until the end when, let's face it, you can't do anything for this project if I don't reflect until the end of this project. I can do something for the next one, but I can't help this one.
Well, not even just do something with this, but a lot of times you do lessons learned, and then they go on the shelf, and nothing ever comes
up. We call those lessons recorded.
Yes, well.
It's not the same as learning them.
And so with this case, not only do you do them sooner, at the end of each sprint, every 2 to 3 weeks, however long your sprints are, but then you figure out what of those are we going to employ mm-hmm. for the next sprint.
Right. How are we going to adapt?
How are we going to adapt? You don't wait and say, well, lessons learned, we'll do it the next program. No, we're going to do it on this program and figure out what's the most important, what's the biggest bang for the buck, if you will,
right?
On the things that we could adapt to.
Yeah.
And are they possible? Like,
and one of the things that when you get into the DoD settings, you often have multiple teams running. So one of the things that teams in DoD settings have to be aware of is improvements locally to their own work may affect others. And so usually at release time is when you will do larger retrospectives where you'll look across the teams that are working on a release and get everybody together to say, what do we need to change as a whole group, not just as individual teams?
That's true. Release time is when they usually do that, but you might want to consider doing it at the end of iterations or sprints, because, for instance, say you had 3 or 4 different teams, and Team A and Team B worked really well together, and they had some kind of cool technology they were using, but Team A and C didn't have that, but they were doing similar kinds of interfaces. They might want to identify that and say, why don't we use this for our interface too, or our tool or whatever? Mm-hmm. And that way you're not waiting until the very end or to the release to upgrade the whole group as opposed to just your team. So it gets a little more complicated, but it's like Scrum of Scrums. Your team does the retrospectives.
Well,
and
this is one of the roles of a Scrum Master is
right.
to help identify these places where as the different Scrum team, Scrum Masters get together, they can help identify where these opportunities are. And that's one of the important things about this one is tuning, this idea of tuning our work mm-hmm. is about taking advantage of the learning in the moment. It's really about that plan, do, check, act cycle over and over and over again and getting people accustomed to looking at their work from that viewpoint. Because I can tell you from all the work that I did in the process improvement arena back in the 90s, that when you're looking at things from that perspective of what can I do better, how can I improve my value stream, you know, all those kinds of things, that you start thinking about your work differently and you start thinking about the work and the process of the work that you're doing, you're not just doing it. So when you're mindful about it and you know that there's going to be a retrospective in a short period of time, 2-3 weeks, you know, maybe 2-3 releases or 2 or 3 iterations at the most, you're thinking differently. And I think that's one of the things that is an advantage for some of the DoD programs that have a history of process improvement kinds of activities, is they have people, not necessarily everybody, but they've got a core of people that have been thinking this way. And when those people get allocated out to the development teams, you've already got some people that are in that mode already. And so that's actually an advantage that the DoD has that some commercial settings may not have.
It is. And I was thinking as you were talking, who better to improve your work than yourself? It's one, people are more likely to accept it willingly and say, well, I could do that better. Mm-hmm. Especially if most of these teams, they're professionals and they want to do better and they want to
sure.
do their best thing. And they can say, well, we did this, but boy, if we had that tool,
yeah.
or a different process, it would make us so much faster and so much more efficient. And so if they bring it up themselves, they're more likely to embrace it and do it as opposed to having someone come in and say, now you will do.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't
Now I want to
work.
Go back to one of our other principles, which is the simplicity principle, and remind people that you want to apply simplicity to this as well. I've done lots of these kinds of retrospectives with a whiteboard and post-it notes. You don't have to have complicated techniques. You don't have
it works
to have
better.
Sophisticated tools to effectively do these retrospectives.
And I know two or three years ago, I had the opportunity to watch a retrospective of the team, and boy, they almost said nothing because outsiders, that was us, were there. So be careful when you're doing this, who you invite. If it's an outsider, the team may clam up.
Yeah, this principle is about the team reflecting.
Yeah, it's about the team, not somebody else coming in and saying, well, from an outside perspective, I saw blah, 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 unless they are actually interfacing with the team.
That's a different thing.
That
now
makes a difference.
Really part of the
now they're part of the
team.
Extended team, but not just some looky-loo who's coming into kibitz, so to speak.
So this is one an interesting principle because it is one that many people may already be familiar with in their own work. It's just being applied a little bit differently. And the history of the DoD in being very active in trying to improve its engineering and management processes actually makes this one a natural fit for the DoD. Not all of the principles are a natural fit, but there's a lot of ways in which this one is, which is
it really is, and you're practicing and you're honing your skills, and DoD just does that a lot with their operational crews. Why not do it with your developers?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay, Marianne, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Well, this is our last podcast in the Agile Principles series. Marianne and I have enjoyed exploring the 12 Agile Principles with you, our listeners, and we would welcome your feedback on the series at any time. If you are interested in accessing our research on Agile adoption in the DoD via papers, blog posts, and podcasts, please visit sei.cmu.edu/acquisition/research. Also, please remember that you can access the entire podcast series exploring all 12 Agile principles and their application across the DoD at www.sei.cmu.edu/podcasts/agile-in-the-DoD. If you'd like more information about the SEI's recent publications in all areas of our work, you can download all of our technical reports and notes at sei.cmu.edu/library/reports-papers, that's all one word, .cfm. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you for listening to us for whichever of these 12 principles you've been with us for. For those of you that have been through all 12, I apologize for you having to listen to all the beginning stuff 12 times, but we never know who's listening when. So thank you for your patience, and we look forward to your comments.